And 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. We'll stand in honor of the word of the Lord. And we're going to read verses 9 down through verse number 12. We're in a series called Different. We've been talking about different faith in trials. And then last week, we were talking about different values in our culture. And so we're going to continue on. We're looking at the book of 1 Peter, chapter 2, verse 9. Let's read it together. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. This morning, the next few moments, I want to speak to you on the subject of a different calling. A different calling. We're going to pray and then we'll get right into our scripture for today. Father, I thank you for everything that's happened here this morning thus far. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to speak your word in a way, Lord, that will communicate exactly what it has to say to us. I pray, Lord, that you'll speak into our hearts. And I pray that, Lord, beyond just a sermon or a message or a speech, Lord, I pray that your spirit will get deep within our hearts and that you will challenge our assumptions, you'll challenge our directions, you'll challenge where we're at, and Lord, that you will bring us ever closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. You may be seated. If you read through the book of 1 Peter, you discover that as he writes to these believers, and it was written as a letter, he's writing to believers that are facing unbelievable persecution. They're being thrown in jail. Their lives are being taken from them. They're being tortured. It's a horrible time, and yet it's a great time for Christianity. As he writes to them, he's reminding them that they are not mere accidents, that they aren't just going through life haphazardly, but that their life really has a purpose. And that's something that is so often missing in folks' lives today. That sense of purpose, that sense of calling, that sense that there is something special in the billions of people on the planet. There is something special about my life. You know, the Bible says that God knows your name. He knows, you know, the Bible was written before they had cell phones, but he knows your number. He knows, the Bible even says that the hairs of your head are numbered. Now, I have no idea which hair on my head is number one. But what he's saying is that God knows who you are. And throughout the book, he often uses the term calling, called, or call. And he's speaking to believers and he is saying, there is something special about you. There's something special about your life. There is a divine purpose. You know, there are sometimes as you say, you know, I was put on earth just to do this one thing, and it's the thing that you really like to do. But the Bible teaches us that God calls you. I want to take you back to something that may be painful in your life, because there were sometimes it was painful for me. And that was back in gym class, or back when we were playing outside as kids, and they would get everybody together, they would choose the captains. Yeah, some of you know about this one. They choose the captains, and then the captains would begin to pick. And you're standing there. And, you know, thankfully, if it was hockey, I was comfortable. But you're standing there, and you're like, pick me first, second, pick me, like first, second, third. And you're saying that little prayer, Lord, don't let me be last. You know what? I look around here today and I see some of you. You have prayed that prayer. Lord, don't let me be last. You know, with me, it was when they were picking teams for basketball. Because I couldn't jump. I couldn't shoot. And I couldn't run very fast. And you know, when you're in that kind of a situation, you are not, unless it's your best friend that's the captain, and it's a pity pick, you are not getting picked first. What I really liked was when it was a captain who didn't know me when it was time for basketball, and he just looked and saw this tall, skinny guy and thought, that's the guy that can put it in the basket. He didn't know. I mean, he did not know that you could put me right under the basket and I would still miss it. You know, I was even then fairly tall, but I mean, I couldn't jump. So I, you know, even though I could try, I'm coming up short on the dunk. Matter of fact, it wasn't even hitting the rim. But I will tell you that in those rare times when I got picked first or second or third, it was like, yes! Like, let's play this game. On the other times, when it came down to the end of it, and there's you, and this other kid that's unathletic, that you know, doesn't even want to be there, and they pick that kid first. Some of you, I'm taking you back, and you're not liking it. And you had to make that walk across, you know, and you know, some kind soul says, you know, you may have been last, but we really wanted you. And I can remember thinking, if you really wanted me, why didn't you pick me first? The Bible speaks about three different callings that God has on your life. The first one is what I'll call a general calling. It's a call to Jesus, a call to know Jesus. Because the Bible teaches us that God wants everybody to know Him. That it doesn't matter what your background is, your culture is, what your lifestyle is. It doesn't matter about any of that. That God wants everybody to go to heaven. That's what the Bible teaches. Sadly, it tells us that while God issues a call to everybody to come to know Him, not everybody will. We call that choice free will. In other words, you have the choice to either love and serve God, or you have the choice to walk away from God. It's free will. But the one thing the Bible reiterates over and over again is that God makes an offer to every individual. So if you're here today, God has an offer for you. That's why Jesus died on the cross. He didn't die on the cross just for good people or religious people. He died on the cross for every one of us. And from that cross, and because of what he did, he gives us a call. That call is to know him. The second kind of calling is a temporary calling. It's the call to a temporary assignment. We've all heard of perhaps a missionary who says, I feel like God has called me to go to Asia or to Europe or to somewhere to take the gospel. That's a temporary assignment. Or it may be in your life that it's not even to leave your neighborhood and go somewhere, but it may be that God brings you into somebody else's life for just such a time when you can help them. A temporary assignment. You see, it's not only we think about it as going across the seas, but sometimes it may be that person in your workplace that's going through a difficult time and they need somebody to lean on, and that's a temporary assignment. God calls. He works through people. And then, you know, Peter knew all about these callings, like the call to know Jesus and to follow Jesus. As Peter was writing, the Bible story tells us that Peter was out fishing all night. He was a professional fisherman. He was out fishing all night, and he came back in the morning, and he had no fish. And they're cleaning their nets, and Jesus comes along and says, look, I want to use your boat for a pulpit, and just set it out there a little bit, and I'm going to talk to the crowd that's gathered around. So Jesus begins to speak, and then he finishes, and he says, hey, Peter, you didn't catch anything. And, you know, I try to put myself in Peter's situation, and I'm thinking, yeah, rub it in. And so Jesus looks at him and says, okay, Peter, here's what I want you to do. I want you to take your boat out, and I want you to throw the nets off the other side of the boat. Now, if I'm Peter, I'm thinking, you teach, I fish. What are you doing? And so Peter did what we sometimes do. We humor him. So, okay, well, you know, if that's what you want. So they took the boat out again. He puts the nets down on the other side, and all of a sudden, where there had been no fish before, the nets are full. They call for the others to come and help them because there's so much fish that the boat is in danger. I can't imagine what that would be like. And when they came back to shore, Jesus looked at him and said, Peter, you have been a fisherman for fish, but I'm calling you to be a fisher of men. And then he said, come and follow me. You know that first calling, to come follow him? Is a calling he gives to every one of us. Those temporary assignments come about through life, and you find times and places of service that may not be for a lifetime, but that may be for a specific season, a specific person, a situation, and God works through that. The third kind of calling is a permanent kind of everyday calling. It's a daily call to a different standard of living. It's a life call. When we think of calling, we think of God wants me to do something. That's often how we think of calling. That it's something that I've got to do, it's some place I've got to go. But here's a very important point for us all to remember, that we tend to think of the do. But I want you to get this. God starts with the who before he gets to the do. Now, I know, won't get any poetic awards for that. But God starts with the who before he gets to the do. You see, God's work in our lives is not just about doing, it's about being. God is concerned about not just what I am doing, but about my motives, my integrity, the condition of my heart, who I really am when no one else is around. That's what God's concerned about. And God works on us to become before he challenges us to do. He's concerned about the being. The second thing is, when you know who you are, you will know what to do. When you know who you are, you will know what to do. So Peter's writing to a group of first century believers. They could have been tempted to forget who they were because they were being blamed for the burning of Rome. They were being persecuted. Sometimes we think of Christians today who are being persecuted, and there are many every year that are still being put to death because of their faith. But these people were being tortured. They were misunderstood. They were accused of being superstitious because of all the miracles that were happening. They were accused of being magicians and Jesus, the chief magician. They were accused of being cannibals because of a misunderstanding of the scripture about communion. Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. And they were accused of being cannibals. They called their meetings love feasts or love fests, and they were accused of being incestuous because of getting together with other believers, brothers and sisters in Christ. It was misunderstanding. They were accused of many things. You know, sometimes today, we find the same challenges. But Peter reminds them of what they're called to. He reminds them of who they actually are. And if you want to know what you're called to do, you need to understand who you are. Now let's look at verse number 9 of our text. This is New Living. He said, but you are not like that. Notice the expressions he uses here. For first of all, you are a chosen people. See, he's writing to believers of mostly Jewish background. They would understand God's chosen people as being Israel. But he says, no, you are chosen people. God is at work within your life. Then he goes on, you are royal priests. To them at that time, the priesthood was held in very high esteem. And he's saying, you are not just priests. You are royal priests. You stand a cut above. A priest had a couple of things that was going for him. He was appointed, and he was anointed. I don't have time this morning to stop up and preach about that specifically. But you know what? If you are a follower of Jesus, you are appointed for the time and the place in which you are. You know, sometimes we get so busy thinking, if I could just find a better place, a better time, a better situation. But God appoints you for where you are, and you are anointed. That means that you have God's presence at work within your life to empower you to be able to do whatever needs to be done. A priest was appointed and anointed. And I'd love to stop up there for a little bit because there's so much to unpack there. But he didn't stop there. He didn't say, well, you're a royal priest and you're called to serve and you're called to worship. But then he said, you are a holy nation. We've been talking about this throughout this series. That Peter reminds believers that your hope is not in this world. You don't live only for what you can gain here, whether you can get a lot of money or houses or cars or bank accounts, but you live understanding that this world is not my home. You know what? If you're not a follower of Jesus here today, let me explain something to you. That in your life, there will be times when there will be a little voice that just kind of speaks in the back of your mind. And you might be going through your time of greatest success. You might be going through a difficulty. But there's that little voice in the back of your mind that says there's got to be something more than this. The reason for that is the Bible says that God has put eternity in the heart of every man. Now, we can dull that voice. We can try to quiet that voice. We can try to ignore that reality. But in that unguarded moment, in that moment of introspection, in that moment when you're not expecting it, there's that little small voice that speaks and says, there's got to be something more than this. When that happens, I want you to understand, that's not just you. That's not just the voice of your frustration, but it's the voice of an eternal God reminding you, there's something more. Because you can work hard and achieve all your goals. You can get to the position you want to be. You can have the money you want to have. You can have the people around you you think will make you great. But in the middle of all of that, as we've been reminded this week, the human heart cries out for something that's eternal. For something that is more. He said, you're a holy nation. There's more to life than this. He said, and notice this last part, you're God's very own possession. Think about that. God's very own possession. That speaks to me of how God looks at every one of us and says, that is my kid. That's mine. With all that goes along with it. You know, my daughters are grown up now. They're on their own. They're adults. But, you know, there was something about it when they were young. And all of you who are parents, you'll know what I'm talking about. I would sooner have you say something to me that's mean than say something to my kid. Because you say it to me, I'll laugh at you and move on. You say it to my kid, and there's no laughing happening here. Anybody, you know what I'm talking about? You raise your hand if you know what I'm talking about. Like you say it to me, I'll just, you know, write you off or whatever. I'll just, you know, we're moving on here. I'm not going to take the time to fight about it. You know, we'll just. But you say it to my kid. Like, when you say it to my kid, there's no passing on here. Like, we're not moving on right now. I'm not laughing now. That's my kid. And I love them. And if you, as an earthly parent, think about your children that way, imagine how God thinks about His children. And how much God loves His children. He said, you are His possession. You're His. There may be times when the enemy comes along, or you find yourself in a little pity party, and you're walking along saying, there's nobody that loves me, and I don't feel like I belong anywhere, and I don't feel like even anybody's around me. But let me remind you that He said, I've anointed and appointed you. I've called you to be my own. You are my possession. I'm concerned about you. And my dear brothers and sisters, human parents have limitations. But when I understand that God in heaven, who created everything around me, knows my name, knows where I am, says, you are mine, I can walk with security through a world that is insecure. Hallelujah. Peter tells them, here's who you are. You're chosen by God to be a part of His family. And then I want you to notice the last part of this verse. Because we can shout about that. We can be happy about that. But notice the next part of this. He said, as a result, you can show others. You can show others the goodness of God, for He called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. Now, they were being persecuted. They were being thrown in jail. They were going through tough times. You know, I've never had that experience. I mean, I've had tough times, but I've never been thrown in jail. I've never been tortured for my faith. None of that's happened to me. But what Peter is telling them is that even in the midst of adversity, even when things are not going your way, you are called, you have a mission. Part of that mission is making it to heaven. Part of that mission is your temporary assignment. But your permanent assignment is that as you go through life, in the ups and the downs of life, as you go through life, you have an obligation and a calling that you can show the people who are around you who may not know Jesus, you can show them the goodness of God by the way that you live. By the way that you live. Not by the way that you preach. You see, sometimes we have too much preaching and not enough living. Mm-mm. Yeah, I went there. You see, in the early days, they would accuse them of being cannibals or any of those other things. But today, people often look at Christians and use words like hypocrite, bigot, judgmental. Because there are some so-called Christians who live that way. You know, if you're investigating faith, I've got a pretty good vantage point to view people's lives from. And I can tell you that most people who go to church and spend time worshiping Jesus and trying to follow Jesus, that they're sincere, they're honest, they're trying the best they can with God's help to live their lives as a follower of Jesus in a fallen world. But sometimes people like to tag Christians with those kind of identities. But our daily calling is to represent Jesus in a skeptical world. Look at verse 11. He said, "Dear friends," this is New Living Translation, just a modern language translation. "Dear friends, I warn you as temporary residents and foreigners to keep away from worldly desires that wage war against your very souls." And in verse 12, "Be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors." He didn't just say, be careful to live properly when you come to church. He said, be careful to live properly among your unbelieving neighbors. Notice this, because they were being accused of doing wrong things. Then even if they accuse you of doing wrong, they will see your honorable behavior and they will give honor to God when he judges the world. He said, your calling here is to live in such a way that when people are saying evil and harsh things about you that are untrue, live in such a way that even they will be able to see that you are living to glorify God and that God is real within your life. That's the challenge. The challenge is not to be Christian when I come to church. The challenge is to be Christian when I go to work. The challenge is not to love my brothers and sisters when I'm singing songs in church. The challenge is to love those who are using me wrongly when I'm at work or at my neighborhood. That's the challenge of faith. And that's the calling that God calls believers to. He said, they'll see your honorable behavior. He's telling them, not that you first have to convince people to believe what you believe. He's telling them, we're going to show them what we believe by how we behave. In a world that seems like it's spinning out of control, in a world that is often harshly critical of, I hate to use air quotes, but Christians, what our world really needs are followers of Jesus who understand their calling, who understand that I'm not merely to win arguments and to be argumentative. I'm called to show Jesus to a world that desperately needs him by the way that I live my life. That's faith. That's our calling. Because when you show people what you believe by the way that you live, you build a bridge that will allow them to come to know Jesus. He's telling them. Let's go on to verse 15. It's God's will that your honorable lives should silence those ignorant people who make foolish accusations against you. He said, it's the way you live. The love that you show, the patience that you show, the kindness that you show will have an impact far beyond your words. The strategy he's pointing out to them is simply this. Live confidently, live boldly, share the love of Jesus. Love irrationally, love over and above and beyond. Serve people faithfully. That's what love, that's what faith, that's what our calling is. Let me skip down to verse 21. He said, for God called you to do good, even if it means suffering. Just as Christ suffered for you, he's your example, and you must follow in his steps. He said, there'll be times you'll do good, and you won't get good back. You know what normal does? When normal does something good and is thrown in your face, normal throws it right back at you. That's normal. Normal is, if you say something to me that I don't like, wow, it's coming right back at you twice as much. Normal is, you hit me, I'll hit you back harder. Jesus said, do good to them that spitefully use you. Jesus said, love them that hate you. He didn't say, love them that love you. He said, love them that hate you. Now, we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road, and this is the tough part of faith. He's saying that if you're going to be a follower of Jesus, it's going to be different because you don't have the luxury of lashing out. He said, you're called to be different. He said, you know what? You might not get the promotion you want because you wouldn't cheat on the books. But live for Jesus anyway. Somebody might make fun of you or criticize you, but live for Jesus anyway. He says, Jesus is your example, even going to the cross. I read verse 23. We'll skip down to that. He said he didn't retaliate when he was insulted. He didn't threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. Different. Different. You're here, and you might have been wronged or hurt. Maybe this week, maybe it's been a while, but you've been wronged or hurt. And you feel like, I finally got that person where I want them. They're going to beg me. Okay, none of you would do this, but somebody in our world does. They're going to beg me for mercy. Like, I got them. They got no way out. It's payback time. And you know what Jesus comes along and says? Let them go. Let them go. I'll look after it. You let them go. And I can tell you that every fiber of your being will be saying, I got them where I want them. I'm not letting them go. But Jesus calls us to be different. He calls us to live different, to think different, to act different. In verse 9, he said, don't repay evil for evil. Don't retaliate with insults when people insult you. Instead, pay them back with a blessing. You know, he not only says don't retaliate, he says pay them back with a blessing. Wow. When that person at work stabs you in the back and you want to retaliate, he says, don't retaliate. And oh yeah, by the way, you're going to pay them back, all right. But pay them back with a blessing. Do something nice for them. That's not normal. That's different. And that's what God calls us to be. We have a calling that goes to every one of us. We have temporary assignments where God may bring somebody into your life or bring you into somebody else's life where you can minister to them or you can help them. And then we have a daily calling that says, I am a child of God. I need to live to glorify Him. As we stand together this morning, all of us are really at one of those places in our lives. You might be here this morning and maybe you went to Sunday school when you were a kid and you learned the Bible stories and you still remember the songs and the verses and all of that. But then something happened in life and you got away from it. Maybe it's been just this week that you've had one of those experiences like I mentioned earlier. That little voice that says, there's more. You know, you've gotten to the goal that you thought would make you happy, and then there's that little voice that says, there's got to be something more than what I've got right now. Something more. That's the voice of God in your life speaking to you. You might be here this morning and God's put you in a situation and you don't understand why you're in it or what good can come out of it. Maybe there's somebody there with you that God wants you to minister to on that temporary assignment. If you're a follower of Jesus, He calls you to that daily assignment. That by the way that I live, I show that I am a royal priest. God's hand is upon my life. Not simply because I shout it loudly, but because I live it gladly. And that as you go through life, your life touches those that are around you. You never know who you're touching in the name of Jesus. I'm going to ask you to bow your heads with me. We're going to pray in just a moment. But you may be here today and God's calling you. I'm going to ask, if you know Jesus, I want you to be praying right now. If you don't know Jesus, you're the person I'm talking to right now. There's that call that God gives to every one of us that we have to respond to as individuals. Not to join a church, not to sign a card, but to turn my heart to Jesus. And if that's where you are today, and if God's been speaking into your life, I want to encourage you to hear His voice. If you're here today and you started on the path of faith, but somewhere along the way, the path of your faith got stunted to a couple hours on Sunday morning. God's calling you to live your life in a victorious, glorious manner that glorifies Him in your home, in your workplace, in your neighborhood, among your friends. We're going to pray right now. Father, I thank you for this group of people that are here today, and I thank you that you speak to us in different ways about different aspects of our lives. And Lord, I'm asking you that you would speak right now. Lord, I pray for, Lord, individuals that are here that don't know you or maybe have known you but got away from you. And I pray in the name of Jesus that you would again speak. Let your voice be heard. Lord, as you draw us to you with love, as you remind us, Lord, that we were built for something more than just what we have down here. Lord, I pray for, Lord, those who are here today, Lord, who find themselves in a situation where they wonder what on earth is going on. Lord, I pray it may be a temporary assignment. I pray, Lord, that you will, God, open their eyes to see that you are at work. And Lord, that your hand is upon them, that we have been called by you. And Lord, I pray that you will enable us to accept that permanent calling. Lord, that I will live to let my life glorify you. Lord, that even those around me who may not understand it will have to stand back and say, there's something different about that person. There's a God thing here. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would speak to us now. I pray that you would move in us now. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We're going to have a prayer time. And thank you, everybody, for your kind attention. As we do, we join together in prayer here at the front. And I'd like to invite you, if you're in that first group where God's calling you and there's something inside of you that says, I need to respond, I need a change in my life. I need God. As everybody's coming to pray, I invite you to come. Be happy to pray with you because God is here to do something in your life today. If you're here today and you say, Pastor, I've been struggling. I need to see God in my situation. I invite you to come. We're going to pray with you. God is here to do something special. It may be that you've never received God's power in your life, the baptism of His Spirit, but God is here to touch you now. As we sing, the altar is open. If you need to leave, I understand. God bless you for being here. But we're going to have a prayer time because we don't believe that God is just in heaven. We believe God is here on earth to do something in our lives today. And if you have a need, if you just want prayer, I invite you to come. God is here to touch your life today. Let's sing.